It's kind of funny, you get up here on the stage in front of the lights and everything that's been running through your head all day that you're trying to go over disappears. And I want to thank Matthew because all day today, I mean, all week, I've been all right, I got this. And today I'm like, oh boy, what did I get myself into? And that same verse that you read has been running through my head all day. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. Fear can fall under many things, but one thing it falls under is the fear of rejection. I get up here and I'm talking to people that have been in the Word many, many more years than I have. And I sit here and think to myself, well, what am I going to say that may be wrong, they might catch me on? What am I going to say that may not be right? The one thing I know is as long as it's backed by the Word, I don't have a problem with that. So I've got quite a few verses tonight. And that's for my own comfort, my own kind of fallback. I don't know how long it's going to be, and I don't know how short it's going to be, but if I may step up on my soapbox here real quick about that clock. I don't want to offend whoever put that clock up there, but personally, I don't like the idea of it. You come to church and you can say, okay, we're going to start this time. I've got a reason behind this. You come to church and you can say, okay, we're going to start this time. We're going to end Sunday school and we're going to start worship. We're going to end at this time. You cannot put a time on God's word. When he gets in the service, you can't tell him to stop. The way I look at it is, what if God had woken up on that sixth day and he said, you know what? It's gorgeous out. I'm going to take the weekend off. I don't have time to create man. What if Jesus had gotten up on the cross and said, you know what? I've got way too much things on my plate today. I don't have the time to die for your sins. So how do we have the right to come noon and say, you know what, I've got lunch, I've got a football game, I've got a race to watch? That's the reason I don't like that clock. But that's a whole nother story. Anyways, I've had different things stirring inside of me, different things that I've had ideas about that's been talking to me, and I'm like, how can I relate those things to something I know? And one thing I know is soybeans. And I know Brian's sitting there going, oh boy, we're going to be here all night. But anyways, the first step in, I work at a soybean conditioning plant. The first step and the most vital part of our conditioning process starts with this one machine. It's called an air screen cleaner. And basically the seed runs through this thing and there's parts that shake. And they shake over these screens. There's two types of screens. There's one screen that has a large hole. It lets the seed fall through it, and all the things run off the top, and they go to the trash. And then there's a smaller screen, and basically what that does is good seed stays on top, and it gets out all those fines, all those broken pieces. And I'm like, how can I tie this to this? What's been stirring in my inner self? So basically, you don't want to divide sins because sin is sin. But you look at, I know a lot of people look at it kind of two ways. You got the big sins, you got the small sins. Well, look at that top, those top screens that take off all the big stuff. Those are called the scout, by the way. And you're letting that good seed fall through. So yourself is falling through and you're scalping off those large seeds. Or the large sins, I should say. And you can kind of put those in a category as murder and adultery and things of that nature. But what we forget is the small stuff. The small stuff that gets through our everyday. The small stuff that we get comfortable with that we don't realize. And one of those is the power of the tongue and what we use with it and the good things and the bad things that can come of it. So that's how I related it to work and to what I do. The first verse I'm getting into that you can follow along, there'll be many of them, but this one is kind of, I've got two main ones. The first one is Matthew 15, starting at verse 10. And my Bible probably reads a little different, but you can follow along and see what yours says. Starting at verse 10, it says, summoning the crowd, he told them, listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that this defiles a man. Then the disciples came up and told him, do you know that the Pharisees took offense to when they heard this statement? There goes the water. He replied, every plant that my heavenly Father didn't plant will be uprooted. Leave them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind guide the blind, both will fall into a pit. Then Peter replied to him, explain this parable to us. Are even you still lacking in understanding, he asked. Don't you realize that whatever goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is eliminated? But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. This defiles a man. For from the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimonies, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So I got to reading through that, and I see the word defile. I see it so many times. I knew it means something wrong, but I didn't know exactly what. So I looked it up, and it's Webster's definition is to make foul or dirty. So basically, we've got these things growing inside of us that are they're foul, they're dirty. When I think of foul, I think it's something rotten. So if you get this something down deep inside of you and it starts to rot from the inside out and it comes out of your mouth, that's not a good thing. The other verse that I have to start off with is James 3:5. And it says, so too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how large a forest fire a small fire ignites. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among the parts of our bodies. It pollutes the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is set on fire by hell. And that has a lot to something that we use every day to eat, to speak, can say that it can ruin our entire body. It can get down and pretty much set us aflame. What you don't realize is it spreads. Those words you say, they spread. You hear the saying that says, you call a dog stupid enough times, it's going to think it's stupid. Well, we're getting to that point where we're putting down our children. We're putting down the younger generation saying, you can't do this. You're not smart enough. My dad works at the high school in Farmer City, and he states these points where they get to and they push kids into a special education program because the school gets more money. You push them into these programs, and that's what they're going to think the rest of their life, is that they're not good enough, that they need that extra help. But I know through my God I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's no man on the face of this planet that has the right to say whether somebody's going to achieve or whether somebody's going to fail. The other thing it falls into is music. You hear these words, they get into your soul. Sometimes you don't always know what they are doing to you. But you get to the point and your eyes are blinded. You get comfortable with what you're listening to. You think, okay, it's just words. It goes in one ear and out the other. You don't realize that it gets down and it sits there. And then one day, things start to come out. Images pop in your head. Different things come out. The other thing is, if this wasn't so important that God put a limit on what we say, what we do with our mouth, it would not be in the Ten Commandments. One of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Where does that come from? That comes from the mouth. That comes from the heart. You're lying about somebody. You're telling the wrong thing. One of the books that I found most of my scriptures out of was Proverbs. This is a whole book of Proverbs, and most of them deal with things you say and things that come out of your mouth. If I don't lose myself. Proverbs 10:18-19. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. that book is calling us out. It's saying we're going behind people's back. We're talking bad about them. We're slandering. We're a fool. Where there are many words, sin is unavoidable. But the one who controls his lips is wise. The one who keeps those things in and gets them out of his soul, gets them out of his head, and does not care to express them will keep that. Proverbs 11:9. With his mouth, the ungodly destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous are rescued. When the righteous thrive, a city rejoices, and when the wicked die, there is joyful shouting. A city is built up by the blessing of the upright, but is torn down by the mouth of the wicked. Whoever shows contempt for his neighbor lacks sense, but a man with understanding keeps silent. A gossip goes around revealing a secret, but a trustworthy keeps a confidence. There are a lot of things that we can control with the things that we say, with our voice, and you don't realize it until you really get in this and see how important it is that there's a lot of this book devoted to it. I happen to just look up some things, and in the King James Version, stealing is mentioned approximately 30 times. Adultery in different forms is 68 times. Murder, 17 times. But scriptures about the tongue, 129 times it is mentioned in the King James Version. That's a lot more than a lot of those other ones that we see as big sins, as we see our downfalls to us. And it's something that we let get by our eyes every single day. And it's addictive. You hear people talking bad about somebody or putting somebody down, and it's addictive. You get brought into it, and it's hard to stop. More Proverbs. Proverbs 18:8. A gossip words are like choice food that goes down to one's innermost being. That's like I talked to earlier. It gets down and it works its way from the inside out. And the only way it has to come out is through your voice, through what you say. And they can be demeaning, if you will. Proverbs 17:27. The intelligent person restrains his words, and the one who keeps a cool head is a man of understanding. There's a footnote for cool head in my book, and it says spirit. Who keeps a cool spirit is a man of understanding. That says right there that the words that you say, the thoughts that you have, tie right into your spirit and could come out wrong. Proverbs 18:21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That one right there hits really hard. The power of life and death are in the power of the tongue. How more clear can you get of how important that is to keep that controlled? And there's much more in here. There's much more throughout the book. And like I said, they're found more than a lot of other things. But what you got to realize is don't go home and cut your voice box out, because there's other things to do with your voice better than slander, better than lies, better than putting someone down. What you got to realize, there's a word that popped into my head probably about a year ago, and it's called a cross shadow. And basically, I was looking up here one day, and I see the cross, and you focus on the cross, you think of Jesus. But you look on the walls and you see those shadows. And what you got to realize, when you stand there around people that you know in your everyday lives, you're standing behind Jesus. You are his shadow. So basically, if they cannot see him, they are seeing you. So that image you're putting out there, if they happen to know you're a Christian, that's what they see Christianity as. You are the shadow of Jesus. So the things that you do, they're going to watch. They're going to see that. And if they see you coming up with these things and using your voice in this way, that's not going to put up the right image for Jesus. So anyways, I talked about Proverbs and how much it has about the wrong things to do with your mouth. You go back a book to Psalms, and it speaks of hundreds of things of the right things to do with your mouth. Losing my little bookmarks here. Let's see. Psalms 150 starts off with hallelujah. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise God in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his powerful act. Praise him for his abundance greatness. Praise him with a trumpet blast. Praise him with a harp and lyre. Praise him with a tambourine and dance. Praise him with flutes and strings. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everything that breathes, praise the Lord. Do you realize how much breath we waste every year by doing everything but praising God? We use it to lie. We use it to backstab. We use it to slander. But we could be using those breaths to praise God, to praise him for the things that he's done. Psalms 149, 5. Let the godly celebrate in triumphal glory. Let them shout for joy on their beds. It's not only saying when you're up awake, moving around, when you're in church, shout for glory, praise God. When you're in your bed, praise God. If something wakes you up in the middle of the night and you've got that itch, praise God for it. Let the exaltation of God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. Does that sound familiar? That happened to pop up when I was downstairs and I said, yes. It ties into what we were in the morning. So basically, let you praise with your mouth. Keep praising him. Keep your focus on him. But carry your sword with you, because you always need the weapon to fight that battle. Let's see. I know I've got a lot of dead air here, but bear with me, this small book's hard to flip through. This one's fairly familiar to a lot of people, and this reads rather different out of my Bible, is Psalms 100. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. It's not saying come before him with a song that's on key. Make sure you get the words right. It says joyful songs. It doesn't matter what you sound like. As long as you get a smile on your face and you're praising God through that song, through that voice. Acknowledge the Lord as God. He made us and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations. See, that's part of that fear. That's part of that fear of rejection. I get up here, my palms start to sweat, my face gets all red, and I stumble over my words. When I get nervous, I speak fast. When I speak fast, I stumble over my words. But like I said, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Now I'm lost. Psalms 105. Give thanks to the Lord, call his name, proclaim his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell about his wonderful works. Tell about his wonderful works. If you have food in your belly from lunch today, praise God. If you have a place to sleep at night, praise God. All these things that you have given, children, homes, jobs, praise God. Tell about his wonderful works, it says. Don't keep them inside. Don't say, well, he's praising me, yes. Tell about his wonderful works. That's where the testimonies come in. Praise God for the things that he's given you. Basically, you have a whole book of praise here in Psalms. There's so many things that you can read through and praise him for. Give him the time to. Like I was talking about the clock, go back to that. We get caught up in our lives, and we get caught up in the things that we say, the things that we do. Give him the time for him. He gave the time for us, and he spent 6 days creating a glorious earth for us to live on and created us. He sent his son to die for us. And if he cared about us that much, to send his son for us to die, why don't we spend time praising him? We waste our breath. We spend so much time. I can get worked up and I can spend my breath on complaining that my meal was not right at McDonald's. Why am I not praising him that I have a meal, that I have food? The other thing it talks about is it says, if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. Rocks do not have a voice. Rocks do not have a mouth. Rocks do not have breath. We have all of these things already built into us internally. So it's important enough to him to receive that praise because he's worth it, that he will take a rock, an inanimate object that just sits there, and give it all these pieces that it needs to cry out and praise him. When we have this stuff eternally built in, it's already in us. It's already here. So why don't we use it for that purpose? This message went a lot faster than I thought it was going to. And this is actually two messages that's been stirring within me that I didn't realize they combined until 10 minutes before I got up here. So I thank you for listening, and praise God.